Let us turn to Genesis chapter 12, the 12th chapter of Genesis, and we'll read verse 6. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll read verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Chapter 13 and verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle. He was called Abraham at this point. He was called Abraham later. And the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Verse 13. Or we should read verse 12 and 13. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, chapter 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth should be blessed in him. Then chapter 19 and verse 7. And this is Lot speaking, and said, I pray you, brethren, the English Revised says, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Chapter 23. For the last portion we'll read, chapter 23. In verse 4, Abraham is speaking to the children of Heth. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Verse 6. Hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. Now, for the beginning of the meeting, with God helping me, I'd like to speak of four contrasts between Abraham and Lot, and hope God will help every one of us to be like Abraham rather than like Lot. First of all, in his yieldiness on behalf of God. Second, and like his separation. And third, like his friendship with God. And then last of all, his testimony for God. Now, first of all, his yieldiness on behalf of God. We read in Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. Now, there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. That's an important phrase to notice. And in chapter 12, verse 6, we read that the Canaanite dwelled in the land, were there in the land. In the next verse, he set up his altar and his tent. And once we say that we're saved, the unsaved watch us. And they usually have a higher standard for us than they do for themselves. And so Abraham, spiritually minded Abraham, knew that the unsaved shouldn't see strife. And really, the carnal Corinthians could have taken a lesson from a spiritually minded Abraham. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 6. Brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unsaved, something that should never be. And so he was concerned about testimony for God, so he yielded. He could have insisted on his own rights. He was the older man, and it would have been becoming of Lot. When Abraham gave him the choice, it would have been becoming of Lot to let Abraham have the choice, but he didn't do that. Abraham willingly yielded his right to his nephew, Lot. And really, we too should be yielding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. That's an exhortation for all of us. It could be translated, yet let your gentleness be made known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Or it could be translated, let your yieldingness be made known unto all men. But we have to interpret it consistent with the first verse, stand fast in the Lord. We're never, ever called upon to yield principles. But we can be yielding just the same. When there is trouble, if we look for it, sometimes we can find a way to yield without yielding principles. We're never called upon to yield principles. The Lord is at hand. W.E. Vine tells us that means the Lord is near, either in place or in time. For that verse, I much prefer thinking of the Lord right at our elbow to help us. Now, I especially like the word that Matthew Arnold uses for moderation. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's right at our elbow to help us be sweetly reasonable. Now, we're supposed to let that be known. But there's a different word for known in the next verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, how do we make our requests known to God? We just tell them to God. But we're not supposed to go and tell people. It's a different word. We're not supposed to go and tell, I'm sweetly reasonable. We're supposed to make it known. If we're not supposed to tell them, how are we supposed to make it known? We're supposed to so live. Every child of God is supposed to do this. We're supposed to so live day in and day out so everyone we come in contact with us can tell by experience that we're sweetly reasonable. And the Lord is right at our elbow to help us be sweetly reasonable. Not only that, every child of God is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And one of the characteristics of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit of God in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, is meekness. And a person who has a meek spirit doesn't insist on his own rights. And Abraham didn't insist on his own rights. So I hope the Lord will help us to be like Abraham in yieldiness. And hope the Lord will help us to be like Abraham in our separation to God. Now, Lot, we read about it. Verse 12 of Genesis 13, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Next thing you know, he's in Sodom. And so, really, James refers to Abraham. He said he was called the friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23. The Jewish believers that James was writing to, they seem to be more like his nephew, Lot, instead of like Abraham, because he had to write verse 4 of chapter 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is enemy of God. So may the Lord help us in our separation to God, to be like Abraham. And our Lord's high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 14 and verse 16, twice the Lord Jesus refers to you and me, the Father's love gift to the Son. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Since the Lord Jesus says that about us, isn't it sad if we ever like we're of the world? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So I hope the Lord will be like Abraham in our separation to God. And then I hope the Lord will help us to be like Abraham in friendship with God. Now, James said he was called a friend of God. But he's never called the friend of God in Genesis. He is called the friend of God in two books later, but not in Genesis. But in Genesis, we see that he's on friendly terms with God. We read Genesis 18, verse 17, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" He's on friendly terms with God, and he could effectually intercede on behalf of the cities of the plain. He began with, if there's 50 righteous, of course, Abraham was especially concerned. Shall thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? That was his biggest concern. If there's 50 righteous, will you spare that? God promised he would. He brought it down to 10, and Abraham stopped at 10. Now, we read in Genesis 19, verse 29, it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that he remembered Abraham, and thrust Lot out of the cities in which he dwelt, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. So God answered Abraham's prayer. Even though he couldn't spare the cities, he didn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. And Abraham knew that his nephew was righteous. When he was playing with him especially in view. So he was a friend of God. Now, I said two later books refer to him as a friend of God. Good King Jehoshaphat, praying in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 8. He was speaking to God and referred to Abraham, thy friend. He didn't get that from Genesis, but he knew that he was on friendly terms with God. So, Abraham, thy friend. And God himself, 200, that was 1,000 years after Genesis, but 200 years later, God himself said, Isaiah 41, verse 8, Abraham, my friend. So, he's truly called the friend of God. Our Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, if you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I hope the Lord will encourage us to do what he commands us to do and be in friendly terms with the Lord Jesus and with God himself. But then last of all, he was a contrast to Lot in his testimony. It was Abraham that was concerned about testimony in Genesis 13. It wasn't Lot. It was Abraham concerned about testimony. And what a good testimony he had with the children of Heth. What a contrast to Lot. Lot said to the wicked men of living in Sodom in Genesis 19, verse 7, I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly call those wicked Sodomites my brethren. They weren't his brethren, but he called them that. His testimony is so low. And when he tried to warn his sons-in-law in verse 14, he seemed unto them as one that mocked. Lot had no testimony for God, but Abraham, he was concerned about testimony. And when he was speaking to the children of Heth in chapter 23, verse 4, he didn't call the children of Heth my brethren, even though the children of Heth were far more honorable than any of the cities of the plain. He didn't call them my brethren. He says, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. They said, verse 6, hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. So he had a good testimony. And may the Lord help us all to have a good testimony for God. I want to remind us all in assembly fellowship that we have an obligation to support assembly testimony with godly living 7 days a week and 52 weeks a year. We bear that worthy name, James chapter 2, verse 7. Now, every child of God bears that worthy name, but believers gathered to the name and person of the Lord Jesus, we bear that name in a double sense. We can cause that name to be blasphemed, like the Jewish people did, Romans 2, verse 24. Or, like God said to David in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, howbeit, because thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. But thank God, we can cause his name to be glorified. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a promise in Psalm 60, verse 4. The Lord hath given a banner to them that fear him, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Now, but we shouldn't set up our banner on our own strength. Psalm 20, verse 5, in the name of our God, will we set up our banners. With this, I'll close. My first afternoon in Scotland in 1977, I was in the home of the late Robert McPhee, and he told me about a brother in an open air meeting on a Saturday night, and there was a heckler there. And that Saturday night, their brother met the challenge of the heckler in the name of the Lord, and he went home triumphant, and the heckler went home defeated. But 1 week later, the same brother was in the same open air meeting, and the same heckler was there. This time, of course, he had a victory just a week before. Maybe that put him off his guard. But this time, instead of meeting the heckler's challenge the same way, he met him in his own strength. This time, the brother went home defeated, and the heckler went home triumphant. So we can't do it in our own strength. We must have God helping us, and thank God the Spirit of God himself helps us. So I hope the Lord will help us in these four ways, that we like Abraham instead of like Lot, in our yieldingness. Second, in our separation. Third, in our friendship with God. And then last of all, in our testimony for God.